good afternoon for another week of our NBC Connect podcast. It's great to join you in your living room or whilst you're out on a walk. Tim's here this morning with me, or afternoon.
I lose track of what it is really, Tom, but it's a beautiful day.
It is.
The sun is shining through the window of the atrium here at NBC. And whether you're listening to this on Wednesday or Thursday, or maybe even Friday, the forecast looks pretty good for the rest of the week, doesn't it?
And we're sorry that if it is raining or it's grey or downcast or dark when you're listening to us, we can't decide what the weather's like on any given day.
But we'll bring the joy. The sunshine will shine from us, won't it, Tom?
That's one way of putting it, yes.
Which reminds me of a song, actually, from a great double act, Morecambe and Wise, which I don't think you know it, do you? Bring Me Sunshine.
Well, I know.
In Your Smile.
I do know the song. I do know the song. I'm just refusing to sing it because I think that it would ruin it. This is our running joke, isn't it, really, of me refusing to sing your song at the end as you so wish. Maybe the last one of these that we do.
But it's one of the few dances I can do.
Is it?
That Morecambe and Wise did, yeah. I think I can do that quite well.
So do write into us if you would like this to turn into a video podcast and you get to see Tim dancing. We would all love to see that. You might not know, but as we've been filming these Sunday services, we have been making a rather long list of outtakes, of which the majority are Tim. And I'm sure that come the end of our time of having just online services, we will be able to share them all with you in a rather hilarious format, of which Tim doing a dance to Bring Me Sunshine will have to be a part of it.
I think I'm going to do that on the final one. The final one just online before we meet again. Which we will, of course, which is great news, isn't it?
It's wonderful news. Yeah. We don't know when, but we're so pleased that we know that there will be a time when we can meet all together once more. That doesn't mean to say I haven't enjoyed having a time and chatting with you. It's forced us to do different things. I think I've learnt how to film and record things like never before, and I'm sure, Tim, you've refined your preaching to be half the length of time it normally is.
Have you noticed?
I think everyone else might have done, so that's been good.
I think we'll have a sort of a random poll, shall we, as whether we should keep the sermons to that length of time. Ooh. But actually, we could also do it as a fundraiser, couldn't we, really? And the more money that's pledged, the shorter my sermons will be.
We'll have to get the treasurer onto the case. Anyway, we've waffled for far too long. We always do this, and we have a very strict schedule we try and adhere to, and we're already now quite a few minutes off our timescale. We loved getting lots of feedback from you this weekend. We were so excited to see the photos of your various pets that you sent in to us. I did have a kind of discussion with somebody who was debating if dogs could worship, to which I said, well, I said it was in inverted commas in that I certainly wasn't saying that that was the case. But anyway, that's up for a whole different amount of debate.
Yeah, I think that's definitely for a podcast way, way into the future, Tom. But I'll leave you for that.
Yes, got to avoid upsetting people. But we really enjoyed seeing photos of animals being with you as you worshipped. There we go. That's a better way of doing it this weekend. If you have pets and you haven't sent in a photo of them to us whilst you were engaging with our online service, then do please send them in. It really does fill us with such joy when we receive emails and messages into our inbox with beautiful pictures. So do keep sending them in. It really encourages us.
Yes. I haven't got any pets, though, so I don't know what photo I should send in, really. But I've got a few flies in the house or frozen chicken, but I'm not sure that that counts as a pet, really, does it?
Frozen chicken. Wow. I think there's...
Sorry if I've just upset everybody, vegetarian. And
well, anyway,
I'm going to stop digging.
Moving swiftly on. We hope that last week you were able to engage with a couple of things that we shared with you, The Spring Harvest at Home and the book that has been published by John Piper. We wanted to bring to your attention this week a book that's been edited and part of it written by a longtime friend of the church who's currently living in Romania as a long-term missionary, Luke Corley. He's written and edited a book called Healthy Faith and the Coronavirus Crisis, which is biblically based reflections to try and help us all navigate through the coronavirus pandemic. He's written that each contributor has spoken on their own area of expertise, and topics that are covered in the book include prayer, loneliness, work, singleness, marriage, parenting, grief, death, imagination, conversations, humour, and much, much more. The book offers practical advice as well as helpful perspectives from Scripture. If you want to have a look at it and pre-order it, then we'll send out a link to you by email, but you can find it on the IVP Books website under the title Healthy Faith. I'm really excited to get my copy through the post in a couple of weeks when it comes out. I haven't yet received a copy to review from Luke. I might have to send this podcast to him as a suggestion that we'd love to review it. But yeah, we're really excited to be able to support our friends from afar with looking at some of the stuff they've been putting out. And we've also really liked hearing from our mission partners around the world through this time. We had a contact from Adam and Manami in Japan a couple of weeks ago, and we're hoping to try and get them to have a phone call with us at some point on this podcast for you to listen in on.
It's great to be able to think about this current crisis in the light of Scripture, isn't it, Tom? And I think it's really important that we engage in Scripture with this. I mean, a lot's being written about it and a lot of thinking's being done. But I think for each of us, we take individual responsibility in trying to work through some of the things that are happening and to get a sense of what God wants to do through this as well. There's often debate, isn't there, about, you know, did God make this happen? Or is it really that God wants us to learn something as a result of this? And you can hear both strands very clearly in a lot of what's being said and written about it. But I think for each of us, it's about understanding what God is wanting to do at this time. And in the light of Scripture, to understand his bigger plan as well, which is far bigger than just this few weeks of the coronavirus as well.
So as you may be aware, we've been following through this series called 40 Days with Jesus since Easter Sunday. And this week we've come to the passage in Luke chapter 24, when a couple of friends were walking to Emmaus and they were pondering over a number of things. And then Jesus begins to walk with them. And today's passage that we're wanting to spend a little bit of time looking at comes right in the middle of their discussion. Tim, I don't know if you want to give us a bit of the background and then we'll share today's reading.
Yeah, so you know, they're on this walk away from Jerusalem, the place where everything had happened. They had already begun to hear about Jesus not being in the tomb. But despite all of that, these two decided to walk away. Now, they might have chosen to walk away for many different reasons. Life was just going to have to get back to normal after the adventure they'd had. We don't quite know their connection with the group. They weren't the 12, but they were clearly linked in very, very much to that group. They'd clearly been around Jesus during this time, heard him speak, seen what he did, how he acted. But even with all of that, they were still walking away. And then another walker joins them, walking in the same direction as them. And clearly we know that it was Jesus, because Luke tells us that, that Jesus came and walked with them, but they didn't realize it was Jesus. And I think that's intriguing anyway, the thought that Jesus is walking away from Jerusalem as well. He'd spent his 3 years of ministry heading towards Jerusalem, knowing what was going to happen. But on this particular morning, he begins to walk away with them. It was clearly late in the day. A lot had already happened. Mary had been at the tomb before it was sunny, before the sun was up. So it had been probably a 12-hour day, and these guys decided to walk away late in that day, and Jesus walks with them as well.
And before we get into the passage, I actually wanted to just look at one verse that comes a little earlier. Jesus clearly knew everything that was going on in these people's lives, and yet he still asks them the question, what are you discussing together as you walk along, as a way of opening up the conversation to them? And then we proceed to see how the people who are walking on the road talk to Jesus, saying that they don't quite understand all of what's been going on. And that's part of their journey. And we join in now to verse 25 of Luke chapter 24. So Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explains to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And here's the important verse, verse 32. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?"
It's a great little passage, isn't it? And one I think that we can learn a lot from in how we approach reading the scriptures, the Bible. Obviously for them, they didn't have the New Testament like we've got. We've got the sort of end of the story, if you like, and it seems very clear now, but clearly there's still stuff in there that we probably struggle to understand as well. I can't fully remember the first time I heard a Bible story, but having been brought up in a Christian family, I guess it was quite early on, and having been attending church from when I was born, I guess, or probably before I was born, surrounded by the scripture and surrounded by the story, it just became a familiar book to me. But I think that's sometimes the danger as well, that it actually became a bit too familiar, and therefore digging into it and understanding the scriptures perhaps wasn't the priority in the church tradition that I grew up in.
I think for some of the, I mean, I am a little bit younger than you, Tim, so I can begin to remember some of my childhood perhaps a little more towards the forward.
Nicely put.
My thinking, I'm just being kind. But for me, I can remember the stories. I can remember the amazing miracles that we read about in the Bible. I can remember, you know, the stories of Daniel in the den of lions and Joseph with his story. I can remember Jonah. And you can remember all of these stories because they're really easy to picture. But as you were kind of saying, actually, when you get a little bit older, and I guess for me, it was probably in my teenage years, you begin to have to ponder what these stories are saying. And is there more in it than just an amazing story? I've spoken before about how much I see Jesus as being the greatest storyteller that we've ever known. And for me, when I look at this passage, I almost kind of get a bit of a tingling sensation thinking, you know, what would it be like if Jesus was to explain these stories to me? I feel I have quite a good grasp of what the story of Jonah is telling me, or what the story of Daniel is telling me. But what other bits might I be missing if Jesus was to be able to explain them to me and talk them through? For these people that were walking, clearly there's an energy that they are getting from when Jesus is talking to them about it, when Jesus is explaining the stories to them, the stories that are concerning himself, stories that are concerning the people in the Old Testament, of whom they'll have known the story as well, much like me knowing the story of Daniel, or even, as it says in the passage, Moses. They'll have known these stories, but when somebody explains to you the full and deep meaning of a story, I think it can come into a new light.
And yeah, absolutely. And Jesus pointing way back to the stuff that they would have learnt from being young, you know, the culture of the Jewish tradition and the synagogue and the need for them to understand the scripture, to learn the scripture by memory. They didn't have, you know, Bibles on their shelves. They just listened to what was being read and then talked about, and so surrounded by that. And then, of course, they heard Jesus speak about it as well. And Jesus, you know, the Word, capital W, you know, it comes to life in him. But still, they're struggling to understand the full extent of what the scripture is pointing to. And I guess until somebody does give you that one missing piece, then actually your understanding can be less, can't it? Often think about that with dialects. I've had the privilege of travelling around the country a little bit in the northeast and in the northwest and in the south, and now here I am in the Midlands. And I've always enjoyed listening to dialects. Now, listening to the dialects is one thing, but understanding what people have to say is quite another thing, isn't it? Because every area of our country, even though we're a fairly small geographical country, has a particular language that doesn't give you many clues as to what on earth they mean. I remember when we first went to the northeast of England, in Northumberland, and one of our congregation, I asked him where he was going on holiday, and he said he was going to Wargate. Well, I'd never heard of Wargate. I'd heard of Margate, you know, and a few other gates, I guess. But Wargate, I had no clue. And he was just having fun with me, obviously, because he knew I wouldn't understand. But all he meant was, I'm going to my gate. So, in other words, he's staying at home. and you know, it's just one of those things. I didn't understand what he was saying until he explained it to me. And then it made complete sense. Now, do you have an accent, Tom?
I don't. People have said to me, you know, where are you from, Tom? Because you don't seem to have an accent. I actually grew up in Stoke. I've lived here until I was 18, went down to Bristol for a few years of uni and then came back here. And somehow... Came back up north. I've managed to avoid it. I've managed to avoid getting an accent. We always notice when my mum's around her sisters for any period of time, despite the fact that none of them have a sort of Stokey accent when they're in their own parts of the country, when they come together, they all strangely begin to talk a bit more Stokey. They start to look in a book and all that sort of thing. But I've avoided it, and it makes it quite difficult because I love kind of reading some of the local language, the local lingo, as it were. We had someone send in a beautiful story of local lingo to us recently, and me and Tim was trying before we recorded this morning to get me to try and say some of these things, but I look at them and I just think, it's just going to sound ridiculous if I say it. We need someone Stokey to come and tell us them. So maybe we'll have to get someone on who can speak Stokey properly, because I'm just looking at it thinking I'm going to butcher it and make a right fool of myself.
Because the title of this piece is, it says, "It Wanna Arrestee." I've no idea what that means, though, do you? It won't give you rest? I don't know. Anyway, we'll save that for another time. But I think it is that sense that we can read the words just like I've done without understanding it at all. And I need somebody to translate it for me, to interpret it for me, to help me understand exactly what it is saying. And here we go, back to Jesus.
And with these people, with the people that have been walking on that road up to this point, they have been saying they're confused by what's gone on. They have seen it. They saw it with their own eyes. They've seen that all of this stuff has happened. They went to the tomb. They didn't find the body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said Jesus was alive. And then some of them had gone to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. And yet they still are saying they don't understand what's happened. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen Jesus and we don't know what it's all about.
But again, it's such an interesting little passage, this, isn't it? And it's so worth digging into more, is that when they did understand, Jesus disappeared. Because they saw it, you see. And that's the key, isn't it? You know, they were so desperate to cling hold of physical Jesus, as everybody. And why wouldn't you? Because, you know, what, it'd been a ball, hadn't it, you know? And why wouldn't you want Jesus to still be there physically? But that wasn't the point of what Jesus was trying to do in his ministry, because there was always going to be a time when he was going away and leave us to it. And we're left to it without the physical appearance of Jesus for us. But he's still with us because he's revealed himself in Scripture. And that's the heart of this, I think, for me. And it's so beautiful when we get to verse 32, where they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road?" And opened the Scriptures up. I mean, and that's the experience I want to have when I read Scripture. And that's the thing that will keep me alive during this time when things are difficult, keep us connected with God, with one another, and with our community, when Scripture comes alive and we put it into practice. And it is this head-to-heart thing, you know? We can fill ourselves with information, and it's great to have information, but unless the words written for us, inspired by God, God-breathed, Paul says to Timothy, God-breathed, unless they are breathed into us and they find life in us, then it's just going to remain as words. And it takes effort, doesn't it? It takes effort to dig into Scripture. It takes time to sit and open the Bible and read it. And there'll be times when it just is words, but as you persevere, you invite the Holy Spirit to come and breathe life into these words, then I believe they'll take root in our hearts and we will burn with passion for God and compassion for people as well. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? A beautiful thing.
I don't know about you, but I've found times in my life when I have struggled with reading the Bible.
There have been
times when I have felt like it's almost a burden to open a Bible, to read what it has to say, because for whatever reason, whatever time I am where I'm at with reading it, I'm looking at it, I'm just thinking, nothing relates to me right now. But I think this idea of just trying to engage with the Word, asking Jesus to come and help you when you're reading it, invite the Holy Spirit to come to be with you as you read, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you new things from the passages that you're reading, is so important for us to be doing. Maybe it's time to phone up a friend. Maybe it's someone from church. Maybe it's someone that you've known from long before. Maybe it's time to ring them up and open the Bible with them. Talk about something. Pick a passage. Maybe it's a passage that you've loved and it's burning on your heart and you want to share it with somebody else. Maybe you are the person that needs to share the meaning of a passage with somebody at this time.
It'd be lovely, wouldn't it? It'd be a lovely thing to just reconnect, whether by phone or by Zoom or whatever else we're using, Skype, and read Scripture together. There's amazing power in that as well. And I think it is hanging in there, Tom. I think you're absolutely right. You know, the consistency of reading and just continuing to allow the words to take root in your heart.
Open the Bible every day. Get a reminding app. Get something on your phone that reminds you to open the Bible each morning. I know for me, if I don't read the Bible first thing in the morning, my phone pings me at admittedly 9:30. So a bit later than some of you might be needing a ping. But it pings me at 9:30 to remind me to read the Bible. And sometimes it's a helpful thing for me to just see and be like, oh, I've got time to look at this. Maybe I've already looked at it in the morning. It doesn't mean to say that I can't open the Bible again. I think at this time, a lot of us do have time. It's one of the things that we might have gained recently. It might not feel like we've gained a lot of things, but we, for many of us, we have gained time. We've gained space.
And in some of the conversations I've had with some of you, the one consistent thing that many of you have said is, I've got time to read the Bible now. I'm sitting down and reading the Bible. And it's such a beautiful thing. And I know that as you do that, then it will change you and it will help you and encourage you and comfort you and strengthen you. There's a time in the ministry of Jesus in John chapter 6 where we read that some of Jesus' followers were turning away from him and leaving him. And Jesus says to the disciples, those closest to him, he says, and what about you? And Peter pipes up as he always did, but he says this, he says, to whom else shall we go? Because you've got the words of eternal life. You know, and we've got the words. They're written there for us. The words of Jesus, the words that have been inspired that other writers have used. The words of eternal life. The words that bring life now and life for the future. But life is what we're seeking. And Jesus, the word of life, is worth listening to.
You coined a beautiful phrase at the weekend in your talk that for the people who were walking, they turned from doubters into believers. For them, believing was seeing. When they believed the words that they already knew about Jesus, they were able to see him. And, you know, I've so far managed to not talk about football at all throughout the entire time that we've been having our NBC Connect podcast. But I'm reminded of a few years ago when Jurgen Klopp began his
Who's Jurgen Klopp? Remind me.
I'm trying to not get too footbally here, Tim. You know, he came in and he said that his job was to turn Liverpool fans from doubters into believers. And I, I've just found, as I've looked at this passage this week, as I've heard the daily podcasts, I found myself sort of being reminded of all these things. And I'm reminded of football, and it's great to have that reminder. But actually, the words that Jurgen Klopp said, that he wanted to turn them from doubters to believers, is 100% what has happened in this passage with these people who were walking. Now, I'm going to just go with the football thing for one more moment. Another part of Liverpool Football Club, if you know anything about them, is their theme song, You'll Never Walk Alone. And I think this passage, to me, we've looked at how the Bible was opened to the people who were walking on the roads to Emmaus. But I also, I'm just going to finish with this. I see them not walking alone when they were in this battle. They walked on with hope in their hearts. When they headed back, I know I'm jumping ahead now a day or two with the talk, but they heard this, their hearts burned, the scriptures had been opened to them, they were so excited, and they were able to head off with this newfound energy. They went straight back to Jerusalem because they wanted to share the good news with other people that they had learned from the scriptures being opened to them, and they really did have hope in their hearts at that time. I've really enjoyed this past week of the podcasts and what you've been sharing with us, Tim. And I think that this really is such an amazing message of hope that we can have at this time, that we can share with one another. And this is probably a time when all of this is over, because as we said earlier, it will finish. This coronavirus pandemic lockdown that we're a part of will come to an end. I think perhaps this is one of those moments that we might be able to appreciate what Jesus has been trying to say to us. Appreciate the opportunity that we've had to delve more into the scriptures, to look at Bible passages, to be able to say, I have got time for this. I am able to look at this. I don't know what we're going to get out of it. I don't know what you will discover new and afresh when you open the Bible this week, but I am really excited. I'm really excited to hear stories that people have had amazing revelations when they've read the word. It really excites me, and I'm so looking forward to continuing this journey over the next 4.5 weeks we continue journeying on our 40 days with Jesus.
Yeah, thanks very much indeed for joining with it, and do let us know what God is saying to you, whether there's new things happening or whether it's just reminders from the past. Let us know that. We're going to be continuing on Sunday as we enter week 3 of 40 Days with Jesus. And I'm very pleased that Pauline Ingle is going to be preaching for us on Sunday. So make sure you tune in at 10:30 on YouTube through the church website. Connect in and let's continue to know that we're not on our own, that we're still Newcastle Baptist Church. We're still the church, the people of God. And God is preparing us for something new. So thanks for connecting in. And we're just praying that God will do amazing things as we get ready for what he wants to do next. Thanks, Tom. Enjoyed the chat today. It's been really helpful.
As we have every week, we want to finish this morning or this afternoon or evening or whenever you're listening to us by praying together as a church family. Today's prayer comes from Unite 714. They sprung up during this coronavirus pandemic as a way of uniting churches, pastors and leaders across the globe to pray for a miraculous healing of our lands from the coronavirus and a spiritual awakening amongst the nations.
So let's pray. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you and ask you to sustain us by your mercy, your grace and your power. We continue to trust in your gracious promise that no weapon that is fashioned against us, our families or our churches shall succeed. We take refuge under your protective wings. Your faithfulness is our shield. By your great strength, protect our hearts and minds from the grip of terror. Empower us, O God, so that fear will not paralyze us or define our lives. Great multitudes are affected by this appalling pandemic, and so we lift them up before you in prayer. Heal those battling this disease and comfort those who have lost loved ones. We know that you alone are our healer. We identify with the sins of our nation and ask you for your forgiveness. Have mercy on us. Spare us from this pestilence. Cleanse us from our sins. Heal our lands. With one heart and one voice, we stand together in unity, asking you, Almighty God, to protect our cities, our nations, and the world from COVID-19. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you so much for listening to us again, and God bless your day, and God bless your family as you continue to manage the situations you find yourselves in. Do keep in touch, and we look forward to connecting again during this 40 days with Jesus. Have a great day.
God bless you.
Bye. Bye.